Let's see it.
Welcome to the Uncle Hack Podcast, where dudes pretty much just talk dude shit. Welcome to the Uncle Hack Podcast, where dudes pretty much just talk dude shit.
Welcome back to another Uncle Hack Podcast. Just me, solo.
That's right.
Nobody else is in here with me today. How fortunate for you that you get just a solo pod. If you like solo pods, thumbs up this video. YouTube, boom, 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 boom. And speaking of YouTube, we have Jake Paul versus Nate Robinson and the Tyson fight. We'll get into that. How many beers? Okay, this is a question that needs answers to, and we're going to break that down later in the episode. How many beers before switching to whiskey must we have as men? And we're going to break that down. COVID Christmas, okay? We're now in the month of December. We're 25 days while, when you're hearing this a little later, if you're on the Patreon, obviously, you're getting it early. Patreon.com/DangerCat69. Get the episodes early. And there's a little thing that happens in my town every August called Cornfest. Obviously, with COVID, did not happen this year. And a lot of people ask me, Hack, what was the history of Cornfest? How did it start? And, you know, after a long, extensive research and using my creativity and mind, I have the perfect origin story of how Cornfest in my hometown of Taber, Alberta, was created in this episode. How beautiful is that? But first, let's get into it. The whole fucking world for a minute, and when I say the whole world, I mean like North America, was talking about the fight that happened on the weekend. Tyson making his return. You got a YouTuber fighting NBA boy, which is fucking awful. Well, let's get into that first. First off, you know, Jake Paul versus Nate Robinson. You got two guys that this was hyped up like we were getting Pacquiao Mayweather again. You know what I mean? Like Mickey Ward and Arturo Gatti dragged his ass out of the fucking grave for one last crack at it. And, you know, with the whole fight card by itself, other than, what's his nuts, the Ripper there, Badu Jack, I can't pronounce his name. Great fight. I'm not a huge boxing fan. I chime in every now and then, you know, like a decent human being was. Or is, sorry, I'm looking into the camera and I'm catching a glimpse of this fake tree. A little set design for you. You know, we're switching things up. We're trying to be a little more professional. If you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see this fake plastic piece of shit plant to the left of me. And it's just beautiful. It just really adds to the set. You know, we don't have a massive budget here at the Uncle Hack Podcast, you know, with the deep roster of people that produce, write, all that. Oh, God, you know, there's no room for budget. No room for budget on set design, which has left me with some fake fucking plant I dragged out of the lobby of our office. And it really adds to the show because it's awful looking. It just looks, first off, it's a fake plant. How pathetic is that? And secondly, it just, ugh. It's something that you would see at the entrance of an old folks' home. It's exactly what it is. And I actually stole it from the one where all those Quebecers left that old folks' home high and dry. Well, I went in and that's where I got this piece. And I decided to throw it here in the Uncle Hack Podcast studio. And it just adds to it, you know, a little more flavor. It's like, okay, one man's trash is another man's set design. But yeah, no, we had a YouTuber fighting an ex-NBA player. And, you know, if you had high expectations for that fight, you're completely brain dead. Completely brain dead. First off, I can't stand this hype up to it. You know what I mean? Like, this celebrity boxing bullshit is just ruining the sport. Now I get it. It's a business at the end of the game. At the end of the day, it's the hurt business, baby. And if it ain't clocking dollars, nobody's fucking interested. And I get that. I 100% get that. But now when we're talking about this, all right, when we're talking about this, when it comes down to dollar figure, I get it. I get it. But at the same time, like, I was in combat sports. I fought MMA for, 5 years? 5-6 years I was involved in the sport. And so I look at it as it's just a fucking black eye on boxing. Boxing's already dying as it is, and now it's just turning into a fucking circus to get people's eyeballs on the goddamn sport. You got YouTubers now. This celebrity boxing thing is a new fame or newfound glory for the sport. Because let's be honest, MMA's taking over. What would you rather watch? What would you rather watch? You're more interested in mixed martial arts. We as a whole, you know, you got great fights every weekend. It's a giant roster of guys at any given weekend. I don't follow it to the point where I can sit here and name names every fight card or know everybody's record or anything, but I can tune in and be entertained. Where boxing, I don't have a goddamn clue. I don't have a goddamn clue when a fight is even on. I don't even know where to watch it. Remember back in the day, you would have Friday night fights on TSN and ESPN. And I'd watch boxing then. That's when I'd watch my boxing. And then you had your pay-per-view UFCs back. And this is like 2006, 2007, keep in mind. But this is where we're at now. This is where we're at. We have a YouTuber fighting an ex-NBA player. And then Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. in an exhibition boxing match. And you know, if you went in to watch that with low expectations, you got exactly what you were expecting. If you went in there with high expectations, thinking like, this is going to be the sickest fight card ever, you were brain dead. And don't ever give a hot take about sports ever a fucking again. Hear me again. Do not ever give a take on combat sports or any sport in general if you went in with high expectations with that fight card. Are we clear? Are we clear? Okay, good. But yeah, that was just atrocious. First off, Nate Robinson's just like sprinting at him. Are you brain dead? What are you doing? What are you doing? This isn't a street fight. It's a boxing match. It was just horrendous. And then you got that jackass, what is his name again? Fucking Luke Paul. Jake Paul afterwards in the post-fight interview talking like he's the next Mayweather. It's like, listen, buddy, you just need to like sit down and have a thought. I get it. You're a 23-year-old kid. And when I was 23-year-old, I was completely brain dead. My noodle did not work. It still does not work. I'm a 30-year-old man. And sometimes, like you just heard, I stutter over my words. I don't have clear thoughts. I'm an idiot. I'm a moron. I admit it. I am not out here seeking approval of all these little fucking kids that used to watch me on the Disney Channel. I'm not out here looking for your approval, the listener. You listen to this shit because, you know, Hack's laying down the facts, baby, for about an hour every Thursday at 3 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And if you fell off your fucking wallet, you would get this episode Tuesday at 3 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on Patreon. But I get it. We're all tightwads right now, and I understand that. But know who isn't a tightwad after that is Jake Paul clocking in 600K off that fight. That's just insane. I get it. He brings the celebrity to it, and you're going to bring numbers in. But my sweet Jesus. He's been training for about 2 years, and I'll give him this. He did not look horrible, okay? He looked composed enough to be boxing. Nate Robinson, on the other hand, that's a joke. That's a joke. There's millions of kids out there that are grinding, looking to make it in the sport, and then you have this jackass just beating up fucking nobodies. Just beating up nobodies in the game of boxing. Now, maybe outside of the sport, he's a somebody, but in boxing, he is a fucking nobody. An 0-0 guy versus a 1-0 guy. And then on the tail of the tape, they have their Instagram followers. That's like where I'm like, oh God, this is just too much. This is a joke. This is a joke. This is who we're having for a co-main event for Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. Now I get it. It's an exhibition match. It's all happy horse shit. We got concerts happening in between every goddamn fight, which was annoying as hell. It was like, could you imagine being at that live? You'd be like, Jesus fucking Christ, speed this up. Half those rappers, I didn't even know. Most of them sounded like some drunk female at my local hometown bar where the karaoke goes down at about 11:30 p.m. There's usually one drunk female that is just smashed out of her mind that gets up and feels that it's a good time in the night to bust out Lose Yourself by Eminem, but doesn't know the fucking words. That's what that sounded like. And be like, yeah. We them boys. Wiz Khalifa and Snoop Dogg weren't that bad, though. I'll give him that. Wasn't that bad, but I'm a Snoop Dogg fan. I'm some of that 1995 gangster rap shit. I'll listen to that all day long. And Uncle Snoop was fire on the mic. Fire. This looked like two of my uncles at the barbecue about to get down. I'm about that. That was pretty fucking funny. And I would probably, you know, matches like that, I feel like all day long. Let him run some sports commentary. And right now, the sports world is an absolute shit show. You know what I mean? It is a shit show. Week to week, we don't know if QBs are going to be lining up in the NFL. We don't even know if we're going to have an NHL season where the OHL took hitting out of their league. For those that don't know what the OHL is, it's a junior league out in Ontario. And yes, they took hitting out of hockey because of COVID restrictions. Like, what the hell are we doing here? What the hell are we doing here? Is everybody's mind just in the shitter? Is nobody thinking? I'll tell you what. Know who lost their mind for a second there in the second round was old Iron Mike. Did you catch that? Those guys that did watch the fight, he at the end of the second, you know, a couple shots after the bell, and old Iron Mike was back for a second. You know, he dug back in that past where he's like, I'm just going to fuck this guy up. Get some shots in after the bell, get underneath his skin, and then realize, oh, this is just an exhibition match. Mike, those years are behind you. I'm the most ferocious I've ever been. Praise, what was that? My defense is impeccable. My offense is ferocious. Those days are far gone. And like the post-fight interview was brilliant. Why is nobody worried about my ass? Why is nobody worried about my ass? And meanwhile, they're like, Roy Jones, were you terrified to get in there with old Iron Mike? Yeah. Why is nobody worried about me? I haven't boxed in 15 years. Well, Jones over here, well, Mike, you know, sometimes the giant falls. Yeah, I haven't boxed in 15 fucking years. He does have a point. Roy Jones Jr. just had a fight 3 years ago. I think he did like another one of them charity matches again. I came in here. I had a sheet that our printer doesn't work. Nothing fucking works in this goddamn office. If it isn't one thing, it's another. Hey, going to print off the notes for the episode? Oh, we got no printer ink. Oh, I'm going to write it down. Fuck, not a pen in sight. It's just a joke here. That's it. It's a fucking joke. A guy tries to get some shit done. Nope. It's a shit show. That's what I operate is a fucking shit show. Just like that boxing card. Now we got YouTubers running around thinking that they're fucking tough. And then Evander Kane. You got Evander Kane coming out. Who else? Ryan Reeves. And then, what's his name? The goalie. Again, if I would have had my notes, if a goddamn person in this fucking office would just go get some goddamn supplies. Can we get there? Huh? Can we get to that stage in the game where we have shit to get things done? No, fuck no, of course not. Why would we do that? We're brain dead. We're fucking brain dead. We're morons. Hey, time for a little ad read. That's right. If you head to DangerCatShop.com, use the code HACK15, you will get 15% off your order on Danger Cat's gear. That's right. DangerCatShop.com, use the code HACK15. And if you want an extra episode of the Danger Cast podcast, you fucking idiot. You rebranded 9 episodes ago, you fucking idiot. If you want an extra episode of the Uncle Hack podcast exclusively, not aired anywhere else, you can head to patreon.com/dangercat69. You'll get an extra podcast every week. So when this one drops, which you're listening to right now, there is an extra episode waiting for you. That's right. And you will get these episodes that you're listening to right now 48 hours earlier. So while everybody else is being like, holy shit, I just want some more Uncle Hack, you can listen to this one, this episode that you have right now, 48 hours earlier. How beautiful is that? And then when Thursday rolls around at 3 p.m., Mountain Standard Time, of course, you get another episode, unlike those other peasants, you know what I mean? Unlike you. So fall off your wallet, huh? Why don't you fall off your damn wallet? Support your fucking boy for once. Jesus Christ. What's a guy got to do? Whose dick do I got to suck to fucking get this shit popping? And we thank you for listening to this ad read. God forbid something goes smooth. God forbid. Jesus Christ. But yeah, no, talking about shit shows. Then everybody takes to Twitter. Hell, I'd fight Jake Paul. I would, because I know the payday on that motherfucker would be great. And I think I'd give him a decent fight. It'd take me about 6-7 months and I could get back into the swing of things, get back training, get my weight down, feel good again, feel healthy, kick some of these nasty habits like this dumb jewel that I'm always fucking tooting on every goddamn episode. Kick that habit, get back in the gym, get sparring, get the feel for it, feel punches again. But what I want to is the question. I don't know. Not like they're just going to knock on my door and be like, hey, Hack, time for you to fight old Jakey Paul. I would take the fight. I'd take the fight tomorrow if I could, because that's 600K. Sign me the fuck up, 600K. I'll take 600 Gs. I don't even give a shit if I lose. I'd give you a show. Oh, I'd be looking to take his chin home with me. Mark my goddamn words. But then everybody else takes to Twitter. You got Evander Kane. You got everybody with a blue check mark on Twitter. Hey, Jakey, you want some smoke? I would like to see Evander Kane go. I would like to see that. Let's see him fight a hockey player. Somebody that's actually tough. You dragged some ex-NBA player off the goddamn couch to train for 3 goddamn months, and you beat the shit out of him. And let's be honest, NBA players aren't that goddamn tough. We've all watched these giant men swing punches. It's pathetic. Like, the worst thing to them is soccer players. Them and soccer players are just giant pussies. So if you got somebody that actually was in a combative sport, and that actually allows fighting, like, love him or hate him, Evander Kane can swing. He can swing. Fuck, he fought Revo. Not a horrible fight either. Yeah. But what I'm getting at is it was a decent fight. Like, I'll be honest, it was okay. I'm talking about Tyson and Jones. It was fun to watch. It was entertaining as hell. You had a good time watching it. I was over at the cousin's place. We kicked their feet up, enjoyed some sodas, and watched the fight. It was good. It was entertaining. It was just cool to see Iron Mike throw him again. It was just cool to see. And the old boy can swing still. I mean, if it was a little more serious, I think like it would be a way better fight, obviously. But yeah, maybe he'll drag a few more of these old legends off the couch and they'll go punch each other in the noodle a couple of times. Like, that wouldn't be horrible. I would sit down and watch it. You know what I mean? Yeah, everybody's, well, you know, what about Iron Mike shouldn't have got a draw? It's happy horse shit at the end of the day. You knew it was going to be a draw regardless. Like, let's be honest. If you're like, oh, Iron Mike, I get it. A lot of people were betting on it. But yeah, you should have bet on the draw. You knew if it was even remotely close that they're going to call it a draw to keep everybody fucking happy. Because that's what we do now in 2020. We keep everybody happy. We keep everybody happy. Here's a question for you, all right? Here's a question for you, the listener, all right? You with me? Are you perked up? You listening, huh? You chiming in now, huh? Do I got your attention, you mongoloid, huh? Do I, huh? How many beers before switching to whiskey? It's a good question, I think. You know, there's many nights where us men get together, right? We have ourselves a few cocktails. And by that, I mean just a couple sarsaparillas. We sit around, we're cracking beers, and then all of a sudden the runaway train starts. We get a few beers deep, and then the whiskey gets brought out. For me, it's probably about, you know, 8 to 10 beers. 8 to 10 beers, and let's start sipping whiskeys. Sipping them, okay? Until that whiskey settles. And then we're pouring 3 fingers, all right? 3 fingers, splash of Coke, 6 ice cubes, and we're ready to rock, baby. We're ready to rock. And that's usually when the boys' best ideas come out. Like, I'd say, yeah, about 8 to 10 beers. You switch to whiskey. Any, you don't want to be too bloated before you get into the whiskeys too hard. 8 to 10 beers is a good warm-up. That's a good stretch-out. That's a good, you know, that's feeling out your opponent. You got 1-2 rounds in. You got 8 to 10 beers in you. You're feeling light. You're feeling loose. For some people, you know, you're half-snapped. And that's a good area to be in. And when you want to grab second gear, third gear, fourth gear, and get right into the whiskeys, I think that's like the perfect little area. Too early, you might fuck it all up, right? You might fuck it all up. Because then, you know, then you're flying on high octane with a small tank. The beers just kind of, they warm you up. You need a good warm up, you know what I mean? Before you go into it, like, let's use this as like fighting. All right, you're in the back. You're stretching up. You're warming up. You're warming up. You're hitting some pads. You're feeling loose, getting some stretches going, skipping some rope. Those are the beers, right? And then you get down to the fight. There's a good 3-round fight, 8-round fight. Depends on what sport you're in. We're going to go with MMA because it's better. It's healthier. It's better for us. It's more entertaining, you know? You want to see somebody get elbowed in the skull, right? That's what you want to see. And that, just like that elbow to the skull, those are the 3-finger whiskeys. Talking about triple shorts. Triple shorts, baby. Triple whiskeys, short glass, splash of Coke. And if it's a short glass, you're probably looking at about 4 ice cubes. And as they melt, kind of, you know, it dilutes it down and it's a nice drink. And those are when the ideas start flowing. Some of us boys, our best ideas, some of our finest work gets put down at 11:30 to 1 p.m. when the whiskey start getting in you. And then 2 a.m., it's showtime. Then it's time to put those ideas to the test. You know what I mean? You're constructing some wooden ramp built out of a broken table that you slammed your buddy through and a tree stump that you cut down, and you're thinking about having a fire, but you're like, I'm pretty sure if I tow you behind the four-wheeler, I got this old car hood. If you hit that jump, I think you can clear the fire. I think you can do it, honestly. And to add a little spazzazz for it for the gram, I got a cup of gasoline. I'll throw it on the fire. It'll do a little poof for us, and you're going to go through the fire. That's usually an idea. That's one of many. That's one of many. And that's about where you want to be, you know, that's the end game of the whiskeys. 8 to 10 beers, couple sippers, get into the 3 fingers, and let the ideas flow. Let the ideas just spew right out of you. Because that's men, baby. That's men. That's what we do. And especially if the old lady's away, especially if she ain't squawking in your ear and that cork gets poomp. You know that sound? Poomp. And it's just like, oh. If you got some of that, what is it, Pedlington whiskey, got a little cork in it, boom, and you hear that, and you're like, ooh, ooh, what do you got there? Oh, I got a little fun in a bottle, got a little fun in the bottle. What do you say? You want to get into the whiskeys hack? I'd be a coward if I said no. I'd be a fucking coward if I said no. Pour me up one. Just one. Just one. Told the wife I'd be home early. Just one. It's 10:30, 11 p.m. Just one. One whiskey. One whiskey. Never hurt nobody. My uncle's uncle's famous for that move, eh? 11 p.m. He goes, what do you say? He's either a rum or a whiskey. And he loves that old aged rum, eh? And he'll just be like, well, what do you say, boys? He even talks like that kind of. What do you say, boys? have a quick rum, a little nightcap. And he pulled her, he like, you might as well just threw out all the cups in the house and just drank the fucking bottle. Everybody gets their own bottle and just sip out of it until you fall down, piss yourself. Because that's his move. Well, boys, what do you say? Have a little nightcap? Talks like that. Like he's like some old mobster from the 1940s. What's here, say? What do you say? Me and the boys. Hey, honey, me and the boys are going to head down to the basement and have ourselves a whiskey, say? And the next thing you know, everybody's skanked. It's 2:30 in the morning. We're shooting pool and no ideas. Once you're around the older family members, all the dumb ideas, you got to suppress them. You can't be acting a fool there. But if you're with the fellas, I'm talking about a boys' night in the shop. Maybe you're out at your favorite little pub in the small town, or you're in the big city. You don't just drink beer all night. No, boys, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. All right. I'm telling you. Nobody says, hey, we're going to go and have a nice night out, sip a couple craft beers, and then we're going to finger each other's pussies on the ride home. It's going to be a great time. Hey, guys, John's going to choke me with a scarf while he jerks me off from behind after we sip some craft beers together. Hoo-hoo-hoo. It's going to be a good time. We're going to have a good time with one another. Can't wait to get in the old Dutch ski race. I shotgun sit in the middle in the cab, so I have two cocks in my hand. You don't do that, right, fellas? No, you're better than that. You're a grown man. When you're out, you're away from the wife, you're gonna get into the whiskeys with the boys. Nothing wrong with a whiskey night with the boys. In fact, it's the time of year for that. It's the time of year. And I'm 69% sure that if you chug a bottle of whiskey, you have a like 420% chance that you will not get COVID. And that's from a licensed doctor in the north end of my hometown. That's what he says. When I say doctor, I use that loosely. He calls himself David, but he just calls himself, everybody just calls him Doc for fun, right? They just call him Doc because he was just good. He's a good welder. He'd doctor up some cool shit. That's what I'm getting at. And so they just, hey, just take your, you broke your bike frame, take it to Doc. He'll whip it up for you. And Doc, he's got these weird rules. He's got these weird rules of life. He's made it this far. Christ, he's been sucking those fumes for fucking God knows how long. And he's just got a weird philosophy on things. Like from time to time, he'll just be like, you know what, boys? Every now and then, you just got to go and shock the systems. You know, I sometimes I don't drink for 3-4 months. And then I go out and I put everything I possibly can in me. I'll go smoke. I don't smoke, but I'll smoke cigarettes. I'll smoke a joint. I'll do a line of cocaine. I shoot whiskey. I'll butt chug a bottle of gin if I have to, just to make sure my system knows that I'm in charge and that it's got to fucking react when we go down to war. When it's biological warfare, we got to get down. The boys are on the front line, ready to. They're like North Korea. My little fucking cells inside. That's what he says. My little cells inside. They're just like North Korean soldiers. At any moment's time, this shit could pop off and they're ready to go. And they fight everything they possibly can off. And then I'm good. Just got to shock the system. That's what he claims. That's what he thinks. So old Doc, I'll try and get more life lessons out of old Doc for you and see what else he has to say. Maybe he's got a remedy for this whole virus and we're just overlooking it. You know what I mean? All these health officials over here just scrambling and Doc sitting in his fucking welding shop doing God knows what, just healthy as an ox. You know what I mean? Insane. But yeah, I think to answer your question that you didn't ask me, I think 8 to 10 beers, switch over to the whiskeys and just let it ride. Let it ride, baby. I think some of the finest men I know do the best thinking while they're all buggered up on whiskey. I think, I would probably say some of my finest ideas, some of my best, fondest memories are, you know, 8-6 whiskeys deep after about, you know, a couple beers in me, warm up beers, a couple stretch outs. We're getting into the, you know, ninth inning and things are getting squirrely. We're having a lot of fun and you make your best stories when you're all banged up on a bottle of whiskey. You and the boys splitting a bottle of whiskey. Those are the times. But yeah, no, they're far and few between now as you get older. It's so you got to make them count. You know, I just turned 30 years old on Saturday or Sunday, sorry. And, it's just strange. Or it wasn't this Sunday or this Sunday. It was last Sunday. I just haven't done a solo pod in a while. That's why. But yeah, last Sunday I turned 30 years old. And those days are far and few between because now the lads, some of the lads got kids, some of the lads are married, some dudes just have other shit going on. You know what I mean? Not everybody's out here doing what I do and pretending that they matter, that my opinion matters and the insanity of some people. Calling me on my birthday. I'll get into that for just a quick minute. You know, everybody... It started out as happy birthdays and then quickly turned into some sort of political rant like I'm supposed to, like I'm Ben Shapiro and I'm going to just agree with you and, you know, hey, you know, all this shit going on these days. Like one of my family members calls me up and he goes, happy birthday. Happy birthday there, Brendan. I said, thank you. Oh, you gonna go for a drink? I'm like, probably not. It's Sunday. I'm just probably gonna kick my feet up, watch some football, maybe gamble a little bit. Won my first, won a 3-game parlay. Started getting back into the gambling again, a little bit, not too much. I'm not gonna go heavy on it. We got into it, got a nice 3-game parlay under my belt. That felt great. Thank you for asking. Yeah, then he goes into a tirade about, you know, this fucking government. And it happened 3 times that day. My family's insane. My family's insane. Yeah, turning 30 years old, quite the change. But you notice where other people are in life, and it's kind of interesting. You know, I'm over here, 30 years old, chasing a dream of doing stand-up comedy. I got kids on the internet making fun of me and my receding hairline. And I just want to say to you boys out there with receding hairlines, we matter. Body positivity. You know what? If these fucking bitches can hop on there and shake their guts screaming body positivity, I just call it it's just attention for whores right now. It's just masked, honestly, if you ask me. But know what, boys? So what? We're losing a little hair. That just it just adds a little character. You know, I'm losing a little bit, getting a little widow's peak going on with my elder years creeping up on me. And that's all good. I've learned to own it. You know, I'm owning it. Does it hurt you inside? Yeah, you want that luscious hair. You know, you just want that luscious hair, but there's nothing you can do. So in turn, you know what? If you're losing your hair, it's all good, boys. It's all good. Don't let these ladies tell you any different because there's some fat bitch out there. I just seen some video. And yes, I am going to be very misogynistic right now for a second. I just watched some fucking pig of a woman out there rolling around in the snow, screaming and yelling about body positivity. The only thing we're positive is that you are going to be diagnosed with diabetes. That's the only body positive thing that we can all agree on, all right? And quit, like, can we not? We get it. No, this isn't body positivity at this point. It's just a bunch of fucking stupid bitches that are bored screaming for attention, you know? You're not getting hit on at the office anymore, so you took to TikTok. You took to TikTok. And now you're sitting here being like, oh, body positivity. No, it's not body positivity. We're just positive. You don't want to change your body. You're a lazy bitch. You'll do anything for a little ounce of attention. Just like me. We're attention whores. Own up to it, okay? Own up to it. Because the moment I don't get attention, my whole brand goes away, all right? So that's why I do this shit. And I'll call you out on it. I know what I'm about. I know what I'm doing. I own everything that I say. And it's no different than these dumbasses that hop on being like, it's body positivity. No, it's not, Tiffany. You just couldn't put the donuts down. And now you need an excuse for, like, positive attention. And all these, like, the little marching band comes behind you. Yeah, body positivity. Yes, you go, queen. No, you need to go to the fucking Stairmaster. We're done with this. Like, I'm done with it. You should feel comfortable in your own skin, but don't, like, it's... I'll dive in for a sec. Okay? I was being awfully rude there, but it's awfully annoying at the same time. I'm being a little rude. All right? I am. But like, let's be real here. It's not, it's just the same shit spewed over and over. Oh, it's body positivity. And then we fight and scream and yell with one another because we threw an obese woman on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Like, what are we doing here? It says sports right in the goddamn title. Sports Illustrated. You know that thing isn't playing no fucking sports. You know for a fact, anybody over $3 million, unless you're a lineman for the goddamn Chicago Bears, you ain't playing no sports, okay? Maybe if you're sumo wrestling, that's easy take. That's an easy take. I'm sorry I went there. It's an easy, easy take. I apologize, but I had to. There's not too many sports where you need somebody over $3 million. And do you think that they're sitting there being like, oh, it's body positivity? No, it's just annoying. It's getting too much. Let's rein it in and call it what it is. It's not body positivity. It's just begging for attention. You need some sort of positive reinforcement in your life. And so it's like, oh, God, instead of like going to the gym, getting healthy and getting that praise, being like, wow, holy shit, you changed it all around. Good for you. It's just easier to put two words in a TikTok description while your fat ass rolls around in the snow and you get all the praise from these sons of bitches. That's all. Simple as that. Body positivity. Shut the hell up. And thanks for coming to my TED Talk. COVID is still kicking around. Christmas is on the rise, right? We got Christmas right around the corner. And it makes me laugh because everybody's sitting here. They're like, yeah, what am I going to do? I can't go to my family event. Listen. Nobody's jumping to their feet to go to the family events. All right, let's be honest here. It's like me with weddings. I hate weddings. I don't like getting invited to them. I honestly have a rule, okay? This is my rule. I only go to one wedding a year. I pick one wedding, unless it's immediate family. One wedding a year, all right? If there's two cousins or something like that I actually talk to more than twice a year, then I go to them, okay? That's my rule of thumb. I go to one wedding a year because I'm not going to ruin my summer running around to everybody's little party that they have. I'm not doing it. Am I an asshole? Yes. But again, I'm selfish. I'm selfish with my time. I don't want to waste it while this, like, that happy horse shit's happening. I don't care. I don't want to be there. You don't want me there. You don't even care if I'm there or not. Let's be honest. You don't give a shit. So I just, like, I would much rather go do something I want to do, you know, like horseback riding in Banff. I'm kidding. I would never do that. But with Christmas around, everybody's, well, I mean, you know, fucking, the thing that makes me laugh is like my family is, they're out there. They're fucking out there, all right? And we're very selective when we want to go to family dinners. And every time I go back to my hometown, there's 9 dinners I got to attend. 9 fucking dinners you got to attend. And when Christmas rolls around, I just remember when I first moved out, there's a goddamn dinner at 10 a.m. Some of you call it brunch. No, not us. We got a dinner. There's a turkey ready, for Christ's sakes. There's mashed potatoes. And then at 6 p.m., you got to go to another one. So this year, it's kind of nice because you got an excuse. You can be like, well, you know, I don't want to get the family sick. And a lot of people are going to use that to their advantage, I feel like. And I don't blame them. It's a shit show. Christmas is a shit show. Every year, you know, oh, are you coming to my house? Well, And let me guess, most guys go through this the same shit every year. You get into an argument with the wife, right? You get into an argument with the wife because this used to happen to me all the time. We get into an argument about where we're going, where we, I don't have kids, but I've watched many men get into this argument over and over again. Where are we taking the kids? Well, my mom wants us to come over to her house Christmas morning so the kids can open presents at her house. And then your mom gets pissed off at you because the grandkids ain't going over there. And it's just a revolving door, right? It's just an argument and a fight about where the fuck you need to be at what time. It's exhausting. You don't want to fucking do it. You don't give a shit to go to your mother-in-law's. You don't give a fuck to see your shitty fucking father-in-law and have him tell you about what stocks he's investing in or his new snowblower that he got. Yeah, the wife got me this new snowblower. I don't give a shit. I'm really hoping you slip and fall, break your hip, and you're in the hospital for 2 months so I don't got to see or hear about your dumb fucking snowblower. Am I explaining this right? I feel like a lot of you can agree with me here. You right around this time of year is when arguments start to, they just start to, you just struck the match. You're just striking the match and it's about to go in the fucking fire pit that has gasoline, all the newspaper you need to start a forest fire. And it's just about to get struck. December 1st has finally come here, or December's finally rolled around. I don't know when this episode will be out or what the date is when it'll up. We know when it's going to be out, Thursday at 3 p.m., every fucking week, Mountain Standard Time. You know that this episode's getting dropped, baby. But every year, the same shit, the same argument gets fired up over and over and over again. You just look at the wife and be like, and she's like, oh, I think it's time that we go and we visit my mom on Christmas this year. And you're like, well, I kind of told my mom, the grandkids were going to be over on Christmas Day. You know, they got pajamas and all that, you know, happy, fun. And you get in an argument with your family and then you're bickering with the wife. And then the wife's like just bitching about you to her mom. And it's just problems. This year is just full of problems. And then you throw COVID into the mix and it just kind of makes it okay, because you can be like, well, you know, you can play the card of being like, well, you know, your old man's getting a little old and I don't want to go in there and get him sick and possibly water, you know, and possibly have a ray of sunshine come down on me on his funeral when we got to go into that shit. And, you know, and once a year when we go to his grave, then I can just feel happy for a moment's time. You know, I don't want that. I don't want that. But, you know, we should probably stay home, babe. Have our own little Christmas with our own family. We can wake up in the morning. I'm going to start drinking at about 9 a.m. After I do the whole Santa Claus thing. After, you know, once I get that government check, because I haven't been able to work for a good minute or two. And I can spend $300 on some toys and shit for the kids. Dad's going to fucking crack open a bottle of rum and start mixing some drinks nice and early so I can knock the edge off and just pray to God that this day just blows by and we can go back to normal. And we can go back to normal. It's always this buildup around Christmas time, isn't it? It's always this buildup of tension in a house over and over and over again. Every year, there's a buildup of tension. Well, where are you going to be? Are you going to come to my house? The arguments again. Oh, well. Oh man, there's probably about 18 guys sitting in pickup trucks right now just nodding their head and be like, yeah, he's fucking right. Every goddamn year I get into an argument with my wife or girlfriend about where the kids are going. What time do we need to be at your mom's house? Okay, all right, fine. Well, the kids are gonna get up at 7 a.m They're going to get up at 7 a.m. and open their presents. They're going to want to play with their toys, but then nope. Got to get them in the pickup. Got to make sure we make your mom happy. Can't just have our own little happiness at home. No. Why have happiness at home when it's at your mom's house? Huh, babe? Why do we got to go over there? Huh? Why? Can't we just sit here, get drunk with one another like back in the day when we used to love one another? Instead, like, I look at you while you sleep and I just think like, ugh. If she took her last breath right now, would I be upset? Would I be upset? And you think to yourself, in that moment's time when it's dead silent, no. But then I'd start, like, down the road, I'd start missing some little shit that she used to annoy me with. I would start missing that. But in that moment's time, if I watched you take your last breath while you were sleeping, I would feel happy. Just sheer silence. I don't got to listen to you snore, toss, and kick the sheets over and over and over again. I don't got to listen to that shit. Oh, yeah. And they're like, yeah, fucking right. So, fuck. He's kind of right. Every year I get into an argument with my old lady about where the hell are we going to take the kids for Christmas dinner, Christmas morning, Boxing Day. It's fucking 4 days of hell. Holy shit. Never really thought about it. But I hope you get through it. I hope you and the wife and the kids all get through it. I hope you get half snap. Start drinking early. Get up at 7 a.m. when the house is just dead silent. Get that Irish whiskey out. Make yourself a coffee. You deserve it. This year of all years, you deserve it. It's been a goddamn heart monitor of emotion. 1 minute you're on top, the next minute you're in a pit of misery thinking like, I could just start a shotgun right now. I could just do that right now and I'd be able to rest peacefully. Trust me, we've all thought it. Don't do it. Please don't do it. But we've all thought it. It's all been a thought in our brain. Speaking of Christmas, segue. This is how I'm going to segue into this one. I was thinking about going to my hometown for Christmas this year back in Tabor. And back in Tabor, we have this thing called Cornfest, right? Every August, everybody gets together, a little party at the end of August, right before the kids go back to school. You know, it's kind of end of corn harvest. So we'd have this little get-together, in the town, right? And a lot of people don't know the origin of where Cornfest came from. So I'll describe the event. I'll describe the history and where it came from, right? So Cornfest now is just like a little family festival. It's an outdoor festival. Everybody gets together. There's rides, you know, the fair food. There's some live bands, a beer garden. So everybody just like, it's kind of that time of year before everybody heads back to college, before everybody heads back to university, school. Summer's over. Last little hoorah before the kids go back to school, right? And a lot of it's kind of like that place where you go and you see guys you haven't seen in a while. The whole town comes out. Guys come back from all over the place just to link up, see one another. And it's beautiful. It's a nice time. Beautiful time. I have very fond memories of it. I remember one time when we were 14-year-old kids, we convinced one of the vendors there. He had stink bombs. He wasn't allowed to sell them. And he was packing up and we went up to him and we were like, we pooled all our money together, right? And we bought 4 boxes of stink bombs off him for like $60. So we had 2 backpacks full of these stink bombs, right? And that fucking fairgrounds just stunk like shit forever. 2 hours of just stench. It was awful. But we went on the Ferris wheel and we were popping them, throwing them off, right? And I wasn't paying attention. I popped one, threw it off, and it fluttered down. My friend tells me this. I didn't see that. And it fell down right into this. I feel awful telling this story. I was 14 at the time. And as you know, I probably didn't care. I didn't really have too many fucks to give. But this thing flutters down off the Ferris wheel, right? It lands right on the shoulder of a little girl. And the old man picks this thing up as it's inflating and he's trying to, I shouldn't be laughing as I'm telling this, but he's trying to read it. Well, Christ above me, if the goddamn thing doesn't explode right in his face. So now the smell that this gives off, it's like a mixture of like, you know, about the halfway mark of a Sunday when you're hungover and you've just piled like all that greasy, oh, nasty fast food and those farts that you rip are just pure stench and they stick around. They just seep into fabric and they just linger and they're awful to be around. Even you, the producer of this thing, cannot handle it. That's what this thing gave off. and it was this weird liquid. I don't know what the mixture was, obviously, or else I would tell you. But the liquid in it would just, oh, oh. And this man is trying to read it. Well, fuck me. If it doesn't explode all into the old son of a bitch's face. And he was not a happy camper, to say the least. And I was oblivious to this happening, right? I was very oblivious to this happening. He knew damn well who screwed the fucking thing off the Ferris wheel. And I guess, you know, the old boy didn't want to come up and say nothing to me, but he was very upset with my actions, to say the least. But yes, that's one of the small events that happened to me while being at Cornfest. Other than the many years of when I became legal age to go into the beer gardens and just get smashed with my friends. It was just summer after summer. It was the buildup. Everybody was so excited for Cornfest. And the origin of it is quite interesting, okay? So the town was founded in 1902, all right? And how it was known by was Tank 77, because that's where a lot of people stopped to get water, right? And it was originally called Tabor with an O. Now it's spelled T-A-B-E-R, Tabor, Alberta. And I feel honored informing the fine people out there about the origin of Tabor and how Cornfest came to be what it is. And back then, it was Mormon settlers. And they migrated up from, I believe, a lot of them migrated up from, you know, the Utah area. And it started as a Mormon community. And Cornfest then meant something different than what it is now, right? It's a drunken, sloppy shit show where you go out and you just get hammered with a bunch of randoms and you have the time of your life. Where back then, it meant something. Back then, Cornfest was the search of King Cobb, okay? King Cobb, because in those times, kings and queens are what ruled the land, right? And when you have a water station, especially Tank 77 that was attached to the railroad system, you wield a power, and you needed a king to run that time. And how they would find the king was quite interesting, all right? That land was very, very, it's perfect for growing corn. And it just naturally grew there. And the settlers would then get together once a year around that time, about the end of harvest. Or actually, it would be right before harvest. And this is how they decided to find their king, right? All the men in the town would get together. They would head out to the selected cornfield. And they would get ass naked, and they would have to run through that cornfield bare ass backwards. And how they would find the king was whoever was the first one to take a corn cob up the asshole and come back with it still lodged in. Now, your hands are then tied to your body. You can't lodge it in with your hands. It has to be hooped naturally, because the corn god would then, it was believed that the corn god would then curse the town and you'd get a drought and there'd be no corn for 3 years, right? So then they were, in the beginning, you know, there was never rule breakers. These were honest men out there trying to find their king. But as time went on and politics got involved, you know, guys are out there trying to lodge one in, and it got weird. So that's when they implemented that, and a couple droughts hit them. A couple droughts hit them, and these people were damn near starving to death. The town almost died of starvation numerous times because of cheaters in politics. And that's how deep corruption goes. So in this time, these men would go pantsless, underwear out the door. I don't even think they had underwear back then. That's when men were men, right? And they'd run through this field backwards to see who would rule the land. And whoever came back with the corn cob in his ass was then the new king. And what would they do for celebration on that night? Usually they would wait for the next harvest moon, and the queen would then take the kernels, and they would wrap her in blankets, right? They would take the queen, wrap her in blankets, and the kernels that were shucked from that corn cob were then were then, this is awful to say. It's an awful tradition, but it's 120% true. If you ever are in Tabor and you go into the museum, you ask them, hey, what's the history behind the King Cob? And they would shove these kernels up the woman's vagine. And, man, it's awful to say. It was awful to say. But then it was known that once this happened, then they would fornicate, and the next born child would then be the prince, right? It was known that that's how you would naturally get a baby boy, because obviously, you know, men are better than women, and you wanted a baby boy back and then to carry on the legacy, right? You didn't want to ship the daughters off to, you know, down the road to be married into the next king over his town, right? So rumor has it, then this went on for years and years and years, and then finally a scientist came around and be like, this is fucking insanity. You can't do that. It's unsanitary. Plus, it's blocking the passage for the sperm cells to get to the egg. You're insane. Why are you guys doing this? And they're like, well, we don't want to piss off the corn god. And that has been our religion for many, many years. And a lot of people won't talk about it because it's kind of embarrassing, you know? And a lot of people would be like, well, that's kind of gay that you guys would run around pantsless in a cornfield backwards, try and lodge a corn cob up your ass so that way you could, like, throne a king. Yeah, but that's when Cornfest meant something. Now it's just a drunken slobber fest and everybody's just shoving corn cobs up their fucking hoop willy-nilly. All willy-nilly. No meaning behind it. No nothing. They're just doing it for funsies. Back then, it meant something. You found the king. He ran the town on what he thought would make that place more prosperous. And as it grew, the history kind of got pushed away in the books. A lot of people don't talk about it. And I think it's upsetting. I think it's very upsetting. So next time you're in the town and you're passing through Tabor, Alberta, just ask a local about the story of King Cob. Who was the first King Cob? We don't know because, again, they've locked down all the history books in the town. I've tried. I've tried to get my hands on them. I tried to get this information to the public. I tried getting it on Wikipedia, but it's a damn shame is what it is. It's a damn shame that nobody knows the history of the King Cob. Isn't that horrible? It's a goddamn embarrassment. It's a goddamn shame that nobody's out here really promoting the town as well in such a positive manner like I do. I really do put it on for Tabor, and all I've asked for in return is just my name on the Tabor Hall of Fame. On the little wall, just one little plaque, that's all. And here I am educating people from all over the planet. All over the planet. We got listeners all over Canada. We got listeners in the US. Sometimes we get some listeners in Australia, New Zealand. And here I am educating them about the small town of Tabor, Alberta. Just a glorious place. It produces legends. And here I am trying to educate. And here they are trying to suppress that information to the public. And I think that's disgusting. The story of Cornfest needs to be told on a larger scale. Damn shame. And we're going to end on that note. Thank you again for tuning in to another Danger Cats podcast. We appreciate you. We do. You, the listener, we appreciate you. Every week you come here, the podcast is growing more and more and more. Last month was our record-setting month for downloads. We hit just shy of 24,000 downloads. All thanks to you, you beautiful bitches. You know, we've cracked numbers higher than we've ever cracked on the iTunes podcast charts. And I say this, we, as in me and you, the person listening to this right now. Because without you, there is no me. And without me, there is... Well, there's still you, but I'm just a fucking loser with a microphone. And so we thank you. And we're going to start doing something a little fun here and reading some of the reviews on iTunes starting next week. So if you leave me a nice little review on iTunes or I don't know where to look for the reviews on Spotify. I don't even know if they have them. I listen to all my podcasts on iTunes. But if you leave a nice review, we'll read it. We'll fucking read it on this show. Opening episode next week because we're going to do solo pods for the next little while only because of like lockdown and all that bullshit. So it's just going to be solo pods. And again, thank you for tuning in. Remember to drop a little review on the iTunes. And we will read that bitch.